I have a very interesting message. It's something that wasn't given to me. This meeting has been recorded. Can you take that off? No? We're back online? We're online. Okay. Awesome. Here we are at the chapel, July the 9th. In the Word of God, we hear and read a lot about gifts, plural, of the Spirit. It's a very, very interesting subject. It's in Galatians, or excuse me, it's a subject that I like to talk about because it talks about the plural, the gifts of the Spirit. And we find that here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 21. But I'm not going to talk about that, because when we talk about the gifts, it talks about the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, and we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about another subject just after that subject, just after this exposition of the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to be talking about another subject, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, for instance, if I had, I love apples, and I'm sure many of you like apples, especially nice red apples. I mean, they are so good. Oh, that is so good. Red apple, yeah. Yeah, I love them. I love red apples. And they're my favorite. They're sweet, they're juicy, and they're refreshing. I mean, it's just get all that juice coming in there. But the best part of the apple, of course, not the apple tree or the root or the branches or the leaves, it's the apple, it's the fruit of the apple tree. That's what is so delicious. And a nice thing too about an apple is when you finish your apple, it takes quite a while, but when you finish an apple, what's left? Seeds. And you take those seeds, four or five seeds, and you can plant them into the ground, and they'll grow into trees, then you have more fruit. They multiply. It's only one apple, but it will multiply into many other fruit. And that's like the fruit of the Spirit. It's hard to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. It really is, because it's something that is singular, and yet it's plural, and it's not a fruit, but it's something that enriches your life. It's something that gives you refreshment. It's something that gives you energy. The fruit of the Spirit, so in it. And one way I'm going to try to experience this is, for instance, if I have a mandarin orange, for instance, and I look at a mandarin orange, and but before that, take an ice cream cone. When you go to an ice cream shop, there's only one ice cream, but it's produced in many different flavors, chocolate, vanilla, but it's only an ice cream cone. There's only one fruit of the Spirit, but it comes in nine different, I'm going to use the word flavor. I don't know if that's the right terminology. I've read a lot of sermons on this, and there's a lot of different explanation there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and we're going to look at that as we go along. But it's like an ice cream cone with many flavors. Okay, I've got one more example. Because when you go to the ice cream shop, there's one ice cream cone, but it is produced in many colors. A lot of people, when they talk about the fruit of the Spirit, they use this diagram, and I love diagrams. As you know, I'm a photographer, and I'm a visual person. And you look at this, but you know, the fruit of the Spirit isn't cherries and pears and grapes and apples and oranges and so on. It's something different. It's singular, and it's like the mandarin orange. You peel a mandarin orange, and this is a mandarin orange. And you look at it, it's an orange, one orange. But it's got nine different, let's just, you know. That's so delicious. Sorry. I guess that's not polite to eat in front of people, but this is an example of the fruit of the Spirit. It comes into nine different sections, flavors. I don't really know what the right terminology is. Let's read it. Open up your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 5, 22. And this morning we're going to look at these verses. It says here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forgiveness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Verse 23, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, or envious of each other. So the fruit of the Spirit, there's nine segments, there's nine parts, there's nine flavors of the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to find out that Jesus gives us that. Jesus allows us to produce, by the Holy Spirit in us, produce these fruits of the Spirit. The fruit, first fruit listed here is love. Now, I made intimation of this morning. The word love goes a long ways today. We say so much about love, but you know, the love in this verse is used is a Greek word, agape love. It's something that comes from inside you. It's something solid. It's something willing to give, to give without getting something back. It's a love that's different than when we talk about, because there's four loves which we're going to look at in the Bible, but this is the love, the Bible is so beautiful, but this is the first of the fruit of the Spirit. So if you have the love, then you're going to have joy, peace, and all the rest of them. And do you know, when you accept Jesus Christ, if you got Jesus Christ in your heart, you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit produces this fruit in us. But we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. And we do that by reading the Word of God, by studying the Word of God. We get that by coming to meetings and listening and having fellowship one another and sharing one another and helping one another and praying with one another. And this fruit is produced in your life. And it's so important. I think one good example, and we hear this a lot in marriages, love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It has kept no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. God loved you. God loved me so much that he gave his son. It always is with us when we have the Holy Spirit and we allow him. So the word in Greek is agape, or agape, whatever pronunciation you use. But this is a sacrificial love. Unconditional love. It's God's love, but there's also, it's a complete love. It's the love that gives. Giving. You want to give. You have a desire to give. You go out of your way to give. It's something, it's hard to understand sometimes, because it's not a natural love. It's a godly love. It's a love that the Holy Spirit produces in you as you work through life with him as your leader. It's a godly love. Again, I can't explain it all perfectly, because it's up there. It's God working through the Holy Spirit in a person's life. Eros is the love that we talk so much about. You see it, you know, oh, je t'aime, mon chéri. You know, it's a romantic love, the love that you see in Hollywood and in all the shows on television and all that kind of stuff. That's Eros. It's eye attraction. It's a sensual love. And there's a philo, a brotherly love and kindness. I mean, we have that. That is produced in us. We love our family. We love our brother. We love our sister. We love our mom and dad. And then, of course, there's the agape love, which is the complete love, the giving love. Galatians 5:16, so I say, walk by the Spirit. Now, as we walk by the Spirit, this love will come out of us. This love will be a part of us. People will see you by your love. It says in 1 John 4:7, dear friends, let us love one another, not for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So when you have God in your life, you have love. And if you don't have this love, I mean this inexplicable love, ask God to come into your life through the working of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Remember, love is of God. It's God's character. In fact, the Bible tells us that God is love. And this world today needs love. Look in Russia and Ukraine. Look at all over the world. There's no love. We're talking about this love that gives of oneself to someone else. The verse I love the best, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the agape love of God giving. God showed the greatest love for us by sending his son for us. And in sending was an action. He showed his love. God so loved the world that he gave. Are you willing to give yourself for others? Are you willing to help others, encourage others, build up others? Is it a natural thing? If you have God, it should be a natural thing. Love is the crowning virtue of a spirit-controlled believer. Love is the parent of all other fruit. All spiritual fruit grows out of the soil of love. Now, when we think of love, we've got to also think of something that goes along with that, is forgiveness grows out of the soil of love. Without love, there's little accomplished in one's life. Without love, we're not showing the presence of God. Take us right here now. Most people outside in the streets of Burnaby and Vancouver and Westminster and so on, they see us together. I mean, how is it that we have a love? I have a love for all of you. Now, you're going to say, well, Ron, you're just saying that because you're preaching. No, I don't know all you personally. But we are so different personalities, different backgrounds, different languages, different, everything's so different, and yet we're one in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. I love Sunday mornings. I love coming to church. I love meeting with other Christians, and we're going to talk about that as we go along here. But it's a love that's not natural, because what does the world, if a person eats different food than us, we don't really appreciate them because it's different. Or somebody sits down on the construction site on the ground and have their lunch, where other people sit on benches and have their lunch, or some people sit in the car and have their lunch. Different culture, different nature, different backgrounds. But in Christ Jesus, we can have that love. We can show people that we're different, and that is so important. Love is three-directional. We must love one another. But first, we must love ourselves. You're going to say, no, no, Ron. Because see, when I was young, I was taught that I was a gusano. I was just a gusano, which is a worm. I'm just a worm. I'm not worth anything. Christ died for me, and I'm not worth anything. But that's Satan's lie. You are worth so much, it's unreal. And you are to love yourself. Now, you're not supposed to walk around, oh, I'm great, I'm fantastic, I'm an awesome. No, no, no. But God thinks that you are precious because he died for you. So I am not a gusano. I'm not a worm. I'm not a bon rien, good for nothing person. I am someone that God loved me, and I'm to love myself. Now, that may be contrary to what you were teaching. I know when I was younger, I was just a worthless sinner. I'm not a worthless sinner. Christ died for that worthless sinner. And I came to the realization of that over 60 years ago. So we find in the Bible that love your neighbor as thyself, as yourself. You have a great value to the Father. You are unique. And God so loved you, he knew you by your first name. So don't think you're worthless. God loves you. You're precious in his sight. And he wants you to be his child. And we can do that through accepting Jesus as our Savior. We must love ourselves. Are you with me? Talk to me after. I'm in no rush to get away. We can open up the scripture because I had to go through this. I had to fight with myself. I had to look at what I'm going to say today over and over and over. But God loved you so much. And so you're not worthless. Then you should love your neighbor as yourself. Love. You should love your neighbor. Oh, but Ron, you can't love that person lives beside me because they are this, 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 and this, and this. I can't say it publicly like we used to, but that's wrong. Ask God to love your neighbor. And as you love your neighbor, they're going to say, there's something different about that gal. There's something different about that guy. He's different. She's different. And we can show our love practical ways, especially in this world where there's so many problems and so many difficulties. You are to love your neighbor. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Do you love your neighbor? Some people are unloving, you have to admit. But you can ask God to help you, and he will. I know all my neighbors. I love my neighbors. I don't understand them. Some of them are very difficult. But if I can do anything to help them, cut their lawn, rake their leaves up in the autumn, help them do this, that, or the other thing, I want to show them that I love them in the Lord. And that will make a big difference to them. Then we are to love also your neighbors yourself. And you know, it's very interesting that we are to love other believers. Again, we're a family here, and there's always family problems, right? Even in the churches, there's problems. But we are to love believers. The Bible says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you will also love one another. May we love what God loves and values what he loves. Jesus loves us. I'm not going to sing it, but you used to sing, Jesus loves the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. I don't know if we can sing that politically anymore, but you understand what I'm saying? Jesus values us. He loves us. He wants us to be a part of his family. And we can show that we have the Holy Spirit, that we have God in our lives, by loving one another. And that's why we have our community at Park Crest, Cascades, 16th, North Surrey. These are all different churches that I frequent with. And I go there and I just feel apart. As I've walked in Africa many times in so many different countries, Senegal, Cote d'Ivoire, Benin, Togo, just walking with the Christians and going, some countries I didn't understand the language. But I had a love for these people. That's why I was there, because I wanted God in their lives as he was a part of my life. But it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's the first fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit can do in us, for us, and through us what we can't do for ourselves. We can take a sinner, he can take a sinner and save him by grace and produce a beautiful fruit in his life. I know a lot of hate in this world. There's a lot of people that don't like this person or that person because of so many different reasons. But God loves you. And God wants you to love your neighbor. He wants you to love yourself. And he wants you to love other believers. And if you don't ask him, he answers my prayers all the time for different things. And that's one prayer he does. I'm sort of preparing different sermons on each one of these, and I came to patience. I'm not going to preach on that one. I don't have patience, but I do have love. I do have love. And if I can ever help you in anything, in any way, don't hesitate. That's why Andrew here and his wife is here, and others are here to help you, to encourage you, to build you up, to stimulate you. We're just here to help one another, and we can do that through the love that God has given to us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. What a beautiful verse, 1 John 4:16. We have to depend upon the Holy Spirit, though. I can't do it by myself. You know, I tell people I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can't do nada, rien, nothing. Without Christ, he can do things through me that I always give the example, excuse a personal example, but when I went to school, I had a rough time. I had two fathers and four mothers and went to 8 different schools. So I passed on trial in grade 2, 4, and 6, and I failed grade 8 twice. You have to be pretty, I won't use the word publicly, but you got to be pretty, you know what I mean, to fail the same grade twice. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And then I finally got my grade 12, though. Yeah. So then the Lord calls me to Quebec. I couldn't even speak English right. My wife thought I was from another country. I won't mention the country because I had an accent because I had so many different homes I lived in. And the Lord calls me to La Belle Province of Quebec. And I couldn't even... I never took French at school. I flunked English all the time. And then after 12 years of serving the Lord in Quebec, he calls me back to Vancouver. And then from there, he calls me to Argentina, where I have to learn Spanish. I think God has a sense of humor. But I can do all things through Christ with strength and revenge. So can you. I mean, that's just a personal example. Excuse the personal example, but it gives the idea you can do anything when Christ is with you. When Christ is with you. And that's very important. Psalm 103, 10 to 12 says, he does not treat us as our sins desire or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above us, above the earth, so is great the love of those who fear God. For as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression. See, God forgave us. And maybe one of the reasons we don't love this person or that person, because we haven't forgiven them. And I believe there's a joining point there between love and forgiveness. That's why I'm just going to spend 2-3 minutes on that. Because we have to forgive one another if we're going to love them. We can't hold grudges in ourselves. We can't hold... I'm thinking of different words, but you just can't hold that something against somebody. And look what the Bible tells us very distinctly. It says here, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailed it to the cross. Christ took your sins and he's forgiven you. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he forgave us. How much more should we forgive that brother who's offended us, or that neighbor who has talked bad about us behind our back, or because of this or that or the other thing? We have to realize we must forgive them. And as we forgive them and ask God to love, our attitude will change toward them, and we can win them to the Lord. Learning to love like God loved us. To truly love, we must learn to forgive. Jesus has shown us by his examples. What an example we have. What a person we have as our leader, as our Savior. We just have to give ourselves over to him, and then the Spirit can work through us and out of us, and we can love our neighbors as ourselves. We need to ask God for help in forgiving others, as God forgives. So love comes out of forgiveness. We need to ask God for help in forgiving others, because it's not always easy. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm preaching it, but I'm preaching to myself too, eh? That fellow talked bad about you and has talked to the other neighbors bad about you and has given you a hard time. And even if someone has something against you and you haven't done nothing, you are to go to that person and try to regulate that problem so love will come out of you. It is so important, love. Matthew 6:14 says this: if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It's God loved you and he wants to forgive you. Matthew says, I cancel all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have the mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? It's there. It's in black and white, literally. Ephesians says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as Christ, God, forgave you. Forgive is the center to the way to God. So are you willing to do that? Are you willing to go the second mile? Are you willing to forgive that person? And if you haven't got that love and compassion for that person, are you willing to get on your knees and just say, Lord, help me, ajuda me, aide-moi, help me. I need to love that person. And it'll come. As you do things for them, as they change, as you take them that pie, you know, nice blueberry pie, as you go over and you get down and talk to the little children, as you pick the kid up off the lane as he falls off of his bike, and you show love to the family, to the person. So my prayer for you, that if you do not have this love, agape love, this forgiving love, this giving love, unconditional giving, that you'll ask God for that. And when you get time during the summer, look at the other ones. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. There's such wonderful fruit of the Spirit. And I ask God daily. I haven't arrived. I'm still working. As I said, I'm working on patience and a couple of the others. But I can talk about love because I love you, because God has given me the love that he gave for me to you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the gift of the Spirit. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you he's real. We thank you that he's a person, that he's a part of our lives, Heavenly Father. And I just pray that you'll help me to be an example in my neighborhood, in my circle of friends. Help me, Heavenly Father, to be different. Help me, Heavenly Father, to show my love to others, that they'll say, there's something different about that fellow. Help me, Heavenly Father, to love those that talked against me. Help me to love those, Heavenly Father, that have done things against me. Help me, Heavenly Father, to open my life to them and go out of my way to help and encourage and to build them up. And Heavenly Father, we'll give you all the praise and glory that you desire. We ask these things in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.